Hello and welcome back to the Keep Going Kat podcast. My name is Kat and I am your host. On this podcast, we discuss the topics to help you live the healthiest and happiest version of your life. Today's episode, I am going to be discussing the miracle that I witnessed when I was 17, why I no longer consider myself a part of the body positivity movement, and my opinion on healthy at every size, and why I truly believe that the most positive thing that you can do for your body is making health and fitness a priority. So to start this podcast, we have to go back to 2006. So at the time, I am a senior in high school. I'm 17 years old. And I wake up in the morning to hearing my dad just pounding on my bedroom wall. And he's screaming. And I run into my parents' bedroom. And we shared a wall between our two rooms. So I run into the bedroom to see my mom foaming at the mouth. And my dad is like screaming like, "Do you know CPR? Do you know CPR?" And I don't. And I go and get the phone and call 911. We wait for the ambulance to arrive, which feels like an eternity. And it was probably only a few minutes. And they rush into our house. They're using the defibrillator paddles on my mom, I want to say between 4 and 6 times. And, you know, on the very last try, they get my mom's heart beating again. She's rushed to the local hospital, Pomona Valley Hospital. And when she gets there, she's placed in this cryo machine, which is a machine that cools your body down to stop the swelling in the brain. So she was actually the first person at Pomona Valley Hospital to go into this machine. This technology was only placed in the hospital a few weeks prior. And so to me, that's one of the many miracles involved in my mom's story. And this stops the swelling of her brain. My mom then is in a coma and has a traumatic brain injury, and she's in a coma for a very long time. They get to the point where they're telling us that there is no brain activity and we should consider taking my mom off of life support. Now, at the time, my mom's profession was, she had been a church secretary and she was working as a book buyer at Mrs. Nelson's Book Fair Company. So we were very involved in our family church, and there was many volunteers from our church that would like come in while she was in a coma and like read to her and massage her feet. And, you know, we were trying to do all of the things to keep whatever brain activity going that we possibly could. But the doctors had explained, like, there's no brain activity. The machines are keeping her alive. And so a group from the church comes in to pray over her, before they're going to remove her from life support. And my mom ends up waking up from her coma. They then tell us that, you know, it's great that she's awake, but she's going to be in a vegetative state for the rest of her life. She will likely need 24-hour care. Now, with the grace of God and amazing physical therapists and speech therapists, my mom learns how to talk and walk. She gets accepted into one of the best physical therapy programs in the world at Casa Kalina. And now my mom lives in a second-story apartment with her boyfriend, and, you know, all of the doctors, her entire medical team always talk about how much of a miracle that she is. So when I say I witnessed a miracle, my mom, by every statistic, by every doctor's opinions, my mom shouldn't be alive. And because we never lost hope and we never lost faith, my mom is here with us. And I am so proud of her for beating the odds. For now, she walks every single day. She is really conscious of the foods that she eats. And I wish that I could time travel back to 2006 and I could tell her to go and get regular checkups, to get those annual screenings, because if she had done that, we would have been aware that she had myocarditis and that her heart was under a lot of stress because of the weight that she was, that she, you know, maybe she would have learned that she was having regular arrhythmic patterns, and maybe she could have avoided having a traumatic brain injury. So while she is a miracle and I am so grateful to have my mom in my life, I know her life is more difficult. So she has short-term deficit. I explain it to my kids that it's like Dory from Finding Nemo, where, you know, we're planning on having dinner at a certain time and she'll ask you 20 times what time we're planning on having this dinner. She cannot drive. She can't work. And she struggles with reading and writing. My mom was a brilliant artist before becoming sick, and all of those things were taken from her. And I know for a fact that everything that she was doing, all of the sacrifices that she made, were because she loved her children. But I wish that I could explain to her that she didn't have to be a martyr in order to be a good mother. That putting herself first was one of the most compassionate things that she could have possibly done for her kids. And while I wouldn't change any of the things that happened into my life, because every single experience that I have had has led up to who I am and what I do now, but I would much rather have my mom as the person that she was. A miracle. Now, that's a really heavy way for me to enter into this topic of why I have removed myself from, you know, what is the general body positivity community, why I am so passionate about what I do, and what is like the motivating driving force behind me showing up for workouts every single day. So a lot of people don't realize that heart disease is the leading cause of death for women in the United States and globally. Now, 60 million women, so about 44% of women in the United States, are living with some form of heart disease. And in 2021, heart disease was responsible for 310,000 women and about one in every five female deaths. So when I had my son in 2013, I found myself to be about 70 pounds overweight. I knew that I didn't want to repeat the history of my mom. And actually, my dad's mother passed away because of heart disease. She had a heart attack and a stroke at a very young age. So I was very aware of my family's history on both sides of my family of having heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and heart disease all run in my family. I've actually had another aunt on my father's side pass away because of heart disease. So for me, when I became a mother, it was not necessarily about losing the baby weight so I could fit back into my pre-baby jeans. I had a much deeper set why of why I wanted to lose weight. Now, yes, obviously, I had some aesthetic goals. I did want to look and feel different than I did postpartum, but the deep-seated why behind Keep Going Cat and what I do is because I did not want to put my children through what I went through. So, you know, when my mom fell into her coma and got sick, I was a senior in high school, and it completely changed the trajectory of my life. Like, I was set to go to San Francisco Music Academy. I had been actively training in opera and classical music. I sang my whole life. And because of my mom falling ill, I made the decision not to go away to college. At the time, my brother was 13, about to turn 14. My little sister was very young and in elementary school, and I did not want to leave them. It just didn't feel like something I could do while my mom was still very, very ill. And so when I became a mom, it was so important to me to live for my kids. I think a lot of parents will say, like, oh, I would die for my kids. I would do anything for my kids. But would you live for them? Would you choose to sacrifice the time and the energy that it takes to be a healthy example, not just an example, but actually healthy for them? And this is where I don't think that your body has to look a certain way in order to be healthy. In fact, coming from the fitness industry, I can tell you from firsthand experience that some of the fittest looking people are some of the most unhealthy people that I've ever known. Like, just because someone is thin doesn't mean that their heart is well. It doesn't mean that they have positive biomarkers of health, or if you were to do blood work, you would not find issues. In fact, my father is extremely healthy and works out regularly and still has to deal with, you know, watching his cholesterol and monitoring his blood pressure. So this is something that I don't want anyone to think that I am shaming any person at a certain size. The reason why I say that I no longer want to be a part of the body positivity community is my own experience with it. So when I started my Keep Going Kat account, I was in a bigger body. I was in the process of losing, it ended up being 65-ish pounds, between 65 and 70 pounds. And I was in a larger body when I first started and was first posting my photos and my workout videos and all of that. And it was this transitionary period of between me, you know, being where I was and getting to that smaller size. At first, I was highly celebrated in the body positivity community. I was featured on accounts like The Bird's Papaya and Healthy is the New Skinny. And these were, you know, communities of body positivity and healthy at every size. And I was being cheered on by these groups of people. And then once I got to a similar size to where I am now, that is when the hate came. So I remember when I was featured on The Bird's Papaya, like her podcast feed page, I got so much hate. I was told that I was perpetuating diet culture, that because I was in a thin body, that I was not body positive because I was choosing to actively exercise and, you know, watch my calorie intake and think about my health. Which I think that one of the most body positive things that we could possibly do is to be actively taking care of our health. Now, does that mean that thinness or being thin is the only way to be considered healthy? Absolutely not. But I do think that we have come into this strange gray area of body positivity that can be promoting some unhealthy lifestyle choices. I worry about some of the accounts that I see because I understand how life-altering heart disease, strokes, and obesity can be on one's health. How detrimental for someone's joints that this can be. And so I, very early on in my career, so now I've been, you know, on social media promoting my fitness programs for over a decade now. Very early on, I remember saying, I'm not going to be a part of the body positivity community. I also think maybe someone who has suffered from an eating disorder in the past would struggle with feeling body positive. So say if someone got to a really tiny size and an active eating disorder, and then for health reasons needed to gain weight, it is going to be very difficult to achieve what would be considered body positivity. I think a healthier goal is to focus on body neutrality. To not think about what your body looks like and put on the clothes and show up for your workouts, not worrying what the outcome of these workouts will be, knowing, not what I mean, like worrying about the aesthetic outcome. Like if what I did was solely to look fit or to have a booty or to have abs, I would have gotten bored a long time ago. I look at my workout routine as a part of my hygiene routine. So just like how I have to brush my teeth and shower and wash my clothes and floss, exercise is part of my personal hygiene. It is just part of what I do as a person. I also think the ability to be able to move is a gift that no one should ever take for granted. I know that there are so many people who are disabled, who are either born with some sort of physical disability or became disabled at some point in their life, that wish that they were able to move their body. When I used to work out at a local Gold's Gym, there was a man who had experienced gun violence in his life, and he was no longer able to utilize his legs. He was paralyzed from the waist down. I would watch this man get himself out of his wheelchair, drag himself across the floor, and exercise in whatever way that he possibly could. And I remember thinking, like, wow, if this person is able to get their butt in the gym and exercise, like, what a gift it is for me to be able to be here. Now, most of the days I am not motivated to work out, but I have a deep understanding of why I need to make exercise a part of my day-to-day routine. I celebrate that ability and that vitality that I currently have, and I also look forward to the future of all of the positive benefits that I am going to get out of making exercise a part of my lifestyle. Carrying an excess of 20 pounds of body fat can have many health implications. So this increases your risk of heart disease, hypertension, and type 2 diabetes, and it also puts extra strain on your joints. You can also end up with sleep apnea, and it increases your risk of certain cancers or fatty liver disease. It can reduce your respiratory function and can cause inflammation, and it can also cause psychological and emotional effects. So the reason why I struggle so much with the body positivity community and the reason why I tread so lightly in this topic on social media is because of the type of hate that I get whenever I have posted about this or talked about it. But I feel like I've come to this point now where I have thick skin and I don't care as much about the backlash, because if I can somehow share the story of my mom falling ill, I can help other women avoid what I went through. I think that so many mothers fall into the cycle of wanting to put their children first or feeling guilty about taking time away from them to exercise, that we miss the point of why we are choosing to do this. I think that it would be far worse for your kids if you end up with some type of a preventable disease because you felt bad taking 30 minutes to an hour away from your kids. And to me, if your kids can sit through a 30-minute trip to Target, they can sit through you doing 30 minutes of exercise in the living room or in your garage. Like, they will be fine. And I also think that it is such a gift to show your children that exercise is a normal part of your day-to-day healthy life. They have done incredible studies of parents who exercise, then their child's likelihood of having childhood obesity goes down an insane percentage. There was a Spanish study that found significant correlations between parental exercise and children's overall health. So children with sedentary parents were only 1/6 as likely to be as physically active as those with active parents. And I think that one of the coolest things that you can pass on to your children is having physical activity just be part of their day-to-day life. And so if they are seeing you take that time away to exercise, then they are far more likely to exercise within their life. There was a study done in 2021, are physical activity habits passed on to their children? And this study was really interesting to me. It indicated that when parents, particularly mothers, are involved in physical activity, it has a positive impact on children's physical activity and consequently their overall health. The difference in influence between mothers and fathers is noteworthy, suggesting the need for interventions to encourage fathers to play a more significant role in promoting physical activity. And it is showing that it is crucial to provide additional support for grandfathers as their sedentary behavior significantly affects their children's behavior. So this study is valuable because it adds very important insights to understanding how our family dynamics relate to the measures of physical activity. So it's basically saying that if a mother is physically active, then the child is far more likely to exercise regularly. Now, what would having more active and healthy mothers do for overall childhood obesity? I think that it would be very interesting if we shifted our focus away from How can we be as thin as possible? To how can we be as healthy and active as possible as a family? And what is that going to do for the overall health of our country? They've also done studies that a child that has one obese parent has a 50% chance of being obese, when if both parents are obese, then their children have about an 80% chance of obesity. Now, often when I post about, you know, body positivity or body neutrality or about my health overall, I am often met with comments of, well, you must have good genes, or you must be lucky because you bounced back. And there's this assumption that I have thin parents. While my father is a leaner person, my mother was severely obese. When my mom went into the hospital, she was almost 400 pounds. Now I have family members on both sides of my families that would be considered obese. And you are far more likely to become obese because of your mother. So there are many studies that have shown that when both parents are overweight or obese, then the probability of a child being overweight is much higher. But if the maternal influence is stronger than the paternal. So that assumption that this is just how my body is because I somehow won a genetic lottery is not true. Now, genetics do come into play. Like, the genetic inheritance that I got is high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and heart disease. And then there is a history of familial obesity. But because I chose to change my lifestyle, then now my children are far less likely to be overweight. And to me, what a gift that I can give to my kids is to influence them to be healthier people and hopefully live longer than my grandmother did, or my aunt did, or, you know, longer than my mom did before falling into heart disease. Now, I am just slightly older than the age that my mom was when she got sick. And it blows my mind thinking about being the age that I am and falling into a coma and having heart disease. And so to me, again, I think the most body positive thing that I can possibly do is to make my health and my fitness a priority, regardless of how my body looks as an outcome. Like, the byproduct of my lifestyle is that I look a certain way, but that has never been my main focus or the main goal. And I truly think that if you can shift your focus away from how your body will look as a result of what you're doing, but how your body will function, you are going to get far better results. Like, this isn't a 90-day thing or a 6-month thing or for the wedding or for the vacation. This is a lifestyle change. And lifestyle changes can happen in a lot of small tweaks and little changes. It doesn't have to be this dramatic thing. It can simply be adding in more walks or increasing your fiber intake or drinking more water, and then all of those choices and changes will start to compound into a much broader lifestyle change that can have effects then for generations, which I think is really cool and super positive. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Keep Going Cat podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, the easiest and free way to support this podcast is by taking a screenshot and posting it on your story. Tag me, let me know what spoke to you during this episode. If there was something that stood out to you, I love getting that feedback from you. I love you all so incredibly much. Have a beautiful day. Drink lots of water. Bye.